I can be a winning Ryder Cup captain away, so is an exceptionally big deal, and it adds a lot to my legacy.
For the best Ryder Cup build-up reaction and exclusive interviews, go to otbsports.com/golfweekly and become an official friend of the pod now.
Now then, you're very welcome back. Happy to say we are joined by Mr. Kenneth Egan, Olympic medalist. Lots to talk to you about. How you doing, Kenneth?
How are you, Joe? How are you?
Very well, very well. So the national championships are on at the moment, and obviously it'd be good to get your thoughts on the Olympics just gone and where Irish amateur boxing is. But a word on Anthony Joshua against Alexander Usyk, which is at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Sky Sports right behind it, so I think people are starting to see the hype machine crank up. We've got so accustomed to looking forward, I suppose, or assuming that Joshua Tyson Fury was going to happen all year. Deontay Wilder wins his legal case, so Fury and Wilder having this trilogy fight next month. And so suddenly we're seeing Usyk popping up on our screens and fighting Joshua. The more casual observer might just assume this is kind of cannon fodder or not that interesting a fight, but Alexander Usyk is really interesting opponent. This is a fight worth watching. Tell us how they shape up and why maybe Usyk will give us something interesting to look at.
Yeah, it's, it really is an interesting matchup. I know Alexander Usyk, many moons ago, back in the amateur days, we were in training camps together in Ukraine, and he was an exceptional talent himself, and Lomachenko were best buddies on the team in Ukraine. Very similar styles, you know, both southpaws, very tricky. He's a left-handed southpaw as well, Usyk is, and very hard to hit, you know. I never actually sparred him when we were in the training camps. He was a weight above me. He was heavyweight. I was light heavyweight. But just watching him move around the ring, he was just a natural, an absolute natural talent. And that's what could cause Anthony Joshua problems Saturday night. He could be just that natural talent that Usyk possesses. Okay, Joshua's a bigger guy. He's going to be heavier, the bigger puncher. But if Usyk was dragged, just a brief comment on it. Usyk's last fight when he boxed Chisora. I think Usyk dropped his standard down to Chisora's level and didn't really look that great. Now, Chisora's tough and he's durable and he's, you know, but he's not like Anthony Joshua. But I think Usyk will have to raise his game if he's to match Anthony Joshua at his level. And I think that's where we could see the best out of Usyk. You'll see boxing at its best. People that don't know anything about boxing should sit down and watch this and watch. This is the sport perfected, if you like. And Usyk can actually display that. If he gets hit, obviously he's going to get hurt. Joshua's a big puncher. But I can still see Usyk in the fight for a long, long time. It's going to be a cracking matchup. But, you know, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, full house. It's good to see boxing back. It's good to see crowds back as well. So hopefully it'll stand up to its reputation this fight, and everyone's going to be in for a treat.
So Usyk, like Joshua, is a 2012 gold medalist. He's lighter than Joshua, as you're saying. So he won at heavyweight, Joshua at super heavyweight. He's about 6'3", as you said, a southpaw. This weight differential, this advantage that Joshua has, how difficult is that to go up against a bigger man? How's Usyk going to get around that? Because ultimately, you know, there's a reason we have, there's a reason there are different weight classes. It's bloody hard. So, I mean, how do you expect Usyk is going to challenge Joshua? How will he approach the fight, do you think?
Like, as you know, in boxing, there's different weight categories for different people. Like, and probably most weights jump by about, I don't know, 4 or 5 kilograms. But this is a big jump. And Usyk has fought at super heavy, if you like, heavyweight in the World Series of Boxing, where he beat Joe Joyce quite convincingly. That was many moons ago. The two of them did win gold in London, which was amazing. But Usyk has been around an awful lot longer than Joshua. Joshua only walked into a gym at 20 years of age. And just that raw talent and size got him to the Olympic final. Now, he didn't win the Olympic gold. You arguably can say he beat in his first fight against the Cuban. But Usyk won his Olympic gold quite convincingly. And that big jump, there was rumour in the circuit that Joshua has come down quite considerably in his weight, trimmed right down, and Usyk has gone up the way. So there won't be that much of a weight difference between the two of them. The only thing I'd worry about is if Usyk carries too much weight into the ring, it could slow him down. And Joshua taking too much off could weaken him as well. So it's a real game of tactics here now, this fight. And the longer it goes on, I think Usyk has a better chance of winning the fight on a points decision because of his boxing IQ and his technique and his skill. Joshua would probably want to land early and get Usyk out there early if he wants to secure that victory.
And when we talk about the craft of boxing, how good has Joshua become?
Joshua was always, look, he had raw talent right back from the start. I remember watching him in the multinations when I was just about to retire. I was on the verge of retirement and he was coming in on, I didn't really know what, tall, big puncher, rangy. And you thought, well, okay, he's very raw. He needs a lot of work done. And my God, he did work very, very hard for the next couple of years because he got to an Olympic final and won it. But in the pro game, there has been some flaws in his game. You know, that chin of his now has been exposed. Now, he's lucky enough, he's not in with a big puncher. But he's very upright, very straight, 1-2 puncher, 1-2 hook puncher, you know, clean, long shots. But if Usyk makes a miss, which I'm sure he will, by the amount of feinting Usyk's going to do, and that's what Usyk is very good at, and that's what real top-class boxers do a lot of, is feinting. If he can feint enough to cause Anthony Joshua to be uneasy on his feet and a bit nervous and commit to shots that he shouldn't be committing to, when Joshua misses, Usyk will counterpunch all night long. That's his game. You know, that's how I boxed myself. I was a counterpuncher, and Usyk was a master at it. Being the southpaw as well could cause issues for Joshua. Because orthodox boxers don't like fighting southpaws. It's normally the other way around. Southpaws like fighting orthodox boxers. So it will be cat and mouse for the first few rounds. Usyk's not going to be any hurry here to cause any upset. He's going to pick his shots, win the rounds, and it'll be up to Joshua then, I think, in the latter rounds to put the pressure on Usyk. And that could be that could even work in Usyk's favour even more if Joshua takes silly risks, misses by a country mile, and Usyk just keeps chipping away and scoring the shots.
Okay, interesting. Because Joshua says this is going to be his toughest fight since the Klitschko fight back in 2017 now. God, it's amazing how quickly the years go by. And he said the thing that he expects to be trickiest when it comes to Usyk is fighting a southpaw. He said, I've only trained for him for the last 3 months, but during my training for a southpaw, I've learned where my feet need to be positioned and how to control a southpaw. So look, he's going to say that. It's interesting though, where he's talking about, you know, learning where his feet need to be positioned. There are not too many sports where, you know, going against somebody who's left-handed or right-handed or left-footed or right-footed, you know, has such a bearing on the whole fight. What's the trickiest aspect of trying to get to grips with a southpaw?
Well, I think the best punch for an orthodox boxer against a southpaw would be a straight right hand down the middle, bearing that your feet are in the right position. So Joshua wanted to get his left foot on the outside of Usyk's right foot. But that's going to be the battle of the lead foot, if you like, throughout the whole fight. Usyk will want to be on the outside of Joshua's left foot to stay away from his right hand. So you're going to see Usyk throwing a lot of right hooks, a lot of feints. But the thing with Usyk is, you see, and I've noticed this in all his fights, even as an amateur, he'll stay in that close enough distance, like middle distance almost, and he'll feint and he'll throw out light shots, real light shots, no power in them, for his opponent to commit the shots. And when his opponent commits, Usyk will either punch same time, land the shots on the same time, or he'll slip and counter punch. And he's always in that distance where he's always keeping his opponent on edge. You know, whereas if he was on long distance, Anthony Joshua would be happy enough to stay long distance because he's tall and he's rangy. But Usyk will cause him that bit of panic by staying that little bit, just a little bit close to him, just to cause Anthony Joshua just to be a little bit uneasy in that area.
That's very interesting. So often who's winning the battle of the leading feet would give you maybe a pretty good sense, you know, someone with your eye and a keen, obviously, boxing observer, as to who's maybe that bit more comfortable in the ring. So give us that again with the feet. Where does Joshua want to be outside?
So Usyk would want to have his right foot outside of Anthony Joshua's lead left foot. So moving to the right side all the time, the right side of the ring. Right. And if Usyk attacks, he'll probably throw a left-hand right hook or a right hook left hand, but he moved to his right then, staying away from Joshua's right hand. Because Joshua's big punch with a straight right hand, and he's a good left hook as well, mind you. So it'll be a battle of the lead foot and the lead hand. So Usyk's right hand and Joshua's left hand are going to be clashing, will be mixed together.
Okay.
So it's who gets the control over the lead hand and lead foot. But again, Usyk is very, very clever with his feinting and his movement. And he'll make Joshua miss. You know, I can't see Joshua making Usyk miss too much because he's too big. He's too solid. So I think Usyk, yeah.
I was going to say, in your experience, what tends to decide who wins that battle to gain control of the outside hand and the outside foot?
Well, I think with Joshua, he'll have to land a straight right hand down the middle at some stage, whether it's the head, the chest, or the body, anywhere at all. But I think, as I said, as the fight goes on and Usyk keeps playing those games with the lead foot and making Joshua miss and counter-punching, because every time Joshua commits to a shot, because he's so big, the shots are going to go all the way out. We have to come all the way back. But the time to come back, if Usyk is scoring those little sharp shots, he's getting the points, he's winning the rounds. And the more rounds he does that, the more frustrated Joshua's going to be. Then the more that Joshua's going to come steamrolling and play into Usyk's hands by just coming forward and throwing shots, big bombs. Usyk will have no problem avoiding these. He's been in the ring for I don't know how many years. He knows exactly what's coming at him.
Mm.
And being the counter-puncher, he'll always have that perfect distance. And that's what's key in this fight, I think, Joe, will be distance. You'll see it with Usyk. He's always just ready. He's always just waiting. As soon as you miss, and by God, if you miss, he's gonna punish you. He won't let you away with missing and just walking away. When you miss, he will punish you.
Great, looking forward to it now. Because Joshua is like odds-on favourite, but the way you're talking about this fight, this is in the balance for sure.
But like, if I was a betting man, I would give it to Joshua on his power and his size. Because Usyk is not heavyweight. Let's call a spade here. Yeah. He's done all his strength conditioning. He's gone up a weight, putting on the. He's eating right, and he's gone up to over 200 pounds. That's fair enough. But he's not a heavyweight. We've seen him with Chisora. He's no power to put Chisora away. But look, his boxing skill and boxing IQ, he could make it a good fight in the latter rounds. Can he keep Joshua off for 12 rounds? A long time to keep a big man off you. Even when they're going to be in clinches, and I'm sure they will, Joshua will be draining Usyk's energy, pulling and dragging. You know the type of way?
Yeah.
And for Usyk to maintain that kind of a strength and stamina throughout the 12 rounds, you're in against a bigger man. And the fact that Usyk can't hurt Joshua with his shots. They're going to be lots of shots, punches and bunches, but he won't actually have a shot that's going to startle Joshua unless Joshua gets tired and Usyk can pick him off at will, which could happen at some stage. But all it takes is one punch from Joshua and the fight could be over.
Okay, great. Well, that's Saturday, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Mm.
Last time I saw you, you were watching a replay of yourself and Peter Collins and Eric Donovan, and I think in your own words, you were like a walrus, which was one of the good lines of the games.
I was supposed to say sea lion. Yeah. Oh, that was funny. Yeah, brilliant. Oh, that was great. Great couple of weeks in RTE there, looking at the games. Bit of crack.
Are we happy with our haul? Are we happy with those games?
Well, look, if we were told we'd get two at the start of the games, we would have been happy with, definitely, you know, with the whole qualifying process and the halt of everything and the delay, we done well to get the amount of boxes we did across the line, first and foremost, and to get the two medals. Unfortunately for Aidan Walsh and his injury, who would have even dreamt up that scenario? But look, Kelly, brilliant girl, produced fine performances even in our final, and look, two medals is great. Two medals is fantastic. And now it's just rebuilding again now and getting ready for Paris, which is only 3 years away. 2.5, 3 years, yeah.
So Kelly Harrington said she's staying amateur. Do you think that's a good decision?
Yeah, fully support and agree with her decision. I'm delighted she said that, you know. Kelly, she's a very marketable young girl. She didn't take too much punishment in the Olympic Games. She never does in any of her fights. So there's no reason why she can't go out there and perform in 3 years' time and try and defend that Olympic gold medal that she's won. So I think it's a good decision. She's a good team around her. She's very grounded, level-headed. You know, she's marketable. She'll make a few euro over the next couple of years. That's what it's about for her, you know. And who knows? If she defends that Olympic title again, it'll be an amazing achievement. And she's putting herself in that position to do so by staying amateur. I know there was talk of her fighting Katie Taylor in Crow Park and all. It's fantasy world stuff, you know. Who knows if Katie be still boxing 2 or 3 years' time? You know, for the people that are sitting on the couches, we'd all love to see that. But in reality, I don't think it's a runner at all, you know.
Mm. 3 years must seem like so much more within touching distance than four. I mean, I know it's only 1 year, but like you can really start to hone in, 2 years out, 18 months out, you really starts to feel very real. So like for her, she must kind of think, God, I can really carry momentum over 2-3 years in a much better way than four. Like I said, even though it's not a massive difference, it does feel psychologically so much closer than the four.
Yeah, but I think it's important for her now to sit down and take a break, which I think I'm sure she has. She went on holidays and just took it easy for a while and reassess. Now, again, pressure's got to be straight on Kelly, you know, winning our national titles again and having to perform on the international stage. Everybody wants to beat Kelly now. She's a marked woman now, you know. Everyone wants to take that scalp of an Olympic champion. So she could have good years, she could have bad years. on the run up to this Olympic Games. You know, it will be tougher. It's going to be tested. So, you know, she hasn't chosen an easier route here by staying amateur, by the way. Like, people think, oh, well, she's only an amateur. She's not a pro. Like, the training that amateurs do, you know, Joe, is you know, it's full time. It's the best of the best, fighting the best of the best on a regular basis. It's not like the pro game where you turn pro and you have a couple of easy ones and you're fighting three or four times a year. You know, high performance amateur boxing is one of the toughest sports on the planet, and she's chose the hard way, I think, by securing her spot for another. Well, if she does secure it in 3 years' time and goes out to defend that title, that's a big challenge and that's a big risk. But she's up for it, and that's what's fantastic, you know.
Yeah, the national championships are on at the moment. The other reason we wanted to touch base, which is, so semi-finals are this weekend. Darren O'Neill has picked up the gloves again. We saw Darren O'Neill's name, so he's back in there. I mean, geez, were you tempted yourself, Darren O'Neill? What would you say? He's gone a couple of years now, and he's gone back in there.
I seen his name in the potentials at the very start. I went up on one of the websites on Twitter, and I was going, that has to be a misprint, you know. And then I texted him, of course, straight away. What's the story? He said, I might do them. He said, I see how I'm feeling. I'm doing a bit of sparring and that. And I said, Jesus. But all these different weights now that have been introduced, the 86 kilo one suit with him, you know, he wasn't going to get back down to 81 or and up to 91 was probably a bit too heavy for him. But look, fair play to him. He went in there and he beat one of the favourites, Tucker, last weekend. I didn't see the fight now, to be honest with you. But you know what I mean? Like on the good side, it's great to see him. And an Irish title is an Irish title. Let's call it spade a spade. It's great. It's great that he's back in, and it brings a bit of spice to the seniors. But what's his appetite if he wins the senior title? Will he go out internationally again? Will he get time off work for camps? What's going to happen? I don't know. I haven't spoken to him that in that depth. But look, it is what it is. He's in the seniors now. He's a great chance of winning them. I don't know how many titles he has yet, but
I think he's
this
seven.
Is another one I'd say.
We'd seven. So he would have been captain of the team in 2012, wouldn't he?
He would have been in London 2012. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So look, it's great. And he was always very talented anyway, and a big puncher, you know.
Yeah.
So he will get respect in the ring. Whenever he fights, he'll get respect. And the 86 kilo seems to suit him just nice. So look, hope to God he goes out and wins that senior title. That'll bring him up to 8 then. Fantastic, you know. Brilliant, brilliant.
There's obviously such a rich tradition in the country when it comes to boxing. To your eye, I mean, I don't know how much of, say, the national championships at the moment you've seen, but you'd have a feel generally for the talent level out there, the next generation maybe coming through with a view to Paris and LA in 2028. Is there talent coming through? Can we feel pretty good and optimistic about the next decade, 15 years, based on what you're seeing?
Yeah, look, I'm speaking to Zara on a regular basis, you know, he's very optimistic about Irish boxing, and you know, there is plenty of talent out there, north and south of the border, you know, and it's about nurturing it all the time and just keeping the young lads interested in the sport. COVID wasn't great for the last 18 months. Lots of lads I've heard have left clubs, have joined a different sport. But it's important that we nurture these kids and keep them interested, you know. We have talent there. There's plenty of talent, but it's nurturing it and getting the best out of these boxers, but the men and the women. But the seniors are going to throw up an interesting one. I know a lot of the lads that fought in the Olympics haven't entered, which is fair enough. They're taking a break. The World Championship's then on in October. So things will start to settle again now. Once things start opening back up now, we'll have the seniors going on again then next year. We'll have big entries in, and then we'll see what Ireland has to offer, what kind of pool we can pick from. But I think we're in a good place. Clubs are full again. You know, Kelly Harrington has done wonders again, getting kids back into clubs. And that's what we need. We need role models like that, keeping amateur boxing in the public eye, and getting more bodies into the clubs. Because the more bodies into the clubs, the better chance you have of finding talent and then in turn then can go on then and represent in later years.
A final one for you. So Darren O'Neill back in there scratching an itch again. Do you ever spar yourself? Do you ever miss throwing a dig at someone's face or even taking a punch?
I don't miss taking a punch. I that's one thing a pet hate of mine. I didn't like getting hit, believe it or not.
You were too pretty. You were too, that face. That face had to be preserved.
If someone hit me with a shot, you know, I'd be disgusted with him for hitting me. And then if I got hit with the same shot twice, I'd be disgusted with myself. But no, I wasn't one for taking much punishment, thank God, and I get out at the right time, you know. So but sometimes you'd want to get in there and have a spar and move around, but I know my body won't allow me, you know. I live a comfortable life now, Joe. I take it nice and steady. I go for a few runs every now and again, a couple of 5K, 10Ks. But them days of standing there toe-to-toe, trust me, the wars me and Darren O'Neill had in the National Stadium, you would have paid big money to get and watch them.
Right.
Fantastic stuff. We'd kill each other, and then at the end of it, we'd shake hands and say, Jay, that was great. You know, absolute lunacy. Lunacy.
Yeah. But, that must be a great feeling, though, to do that.
Oh, Jesus. It was great. All of us there together, myself, Darren Sutherland himself. We had war. I swear to God, they were like toe-to-toe stuff. Brilliant spars out now. But we brought each other on something fierce, you know. And that's what we needed. We needed top-class spar. But I missed that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I missed the crack and the banter and the slagging and all, you know. But
yes. And the sense that you're all...
mature and move on, you know.
Yeah, the sense that you're all improving and bringing each other on must be lovely.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking here like two old men. thanks very much for that. Appreciate it, Kenneth Egan. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Take care. Cheers.